So in these verses describing some of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani, and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity, as one verse describes that he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna or Nohi Anya. He is Krishna, actually, but he takes on the color Gauranga, and she is called Gaurangi, he is called Gauranga. Anga means limbs, and Gaura means the color golden. Therefore, her complexion, her bodily transcendental color, is also Lord Chaitanya's transcendental color. But what is really significant about his appearance as Sri Krishna Chaitanya is his internal mood, which is the same as Srimati Radharani's mood. And that mood cannot be understood, nor described, nor imagined. In fact, it is so... the scriptures say there's two things no one can ever possibly understand. And that is Krishna's transcendental qualities, the essence of his qualities and the unlimited nature of his qualities, and Radharani's love. These two things remain hidden from everyone, even from Krishna himself. So therefore it describes here, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, that there is another reason for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, and that is to enjoy his own transcendental loving relationships and to experience what Radharani's love is and the happiness she experienced in that love. And then, of course, what is it about Krishna that is so attractive? So Krishna cannot even understand what attracts everyone to him. So therefore, when we say Krishna cannot understand, we're not really saying something factual. We're saying that in the ecstasy of love, it takes one to be in the position of the experiencer before one can understand the nature of the object. The object, although the object is perfect, still in order to experience what the object is about, one has to be in the process of being the subject. So he becomes Radharani's mood in order to understand what is her love for him, the happiness she enjoys in that love, and also what is it about him that is so attractive. He's Krishna, and Krishna means one who attracts everyone. But Radharani's love for him, as it's described in the scriptures, can never be explained, but it's described in certain ways, is perfect, and only her love can satisfy Krishna. So therefore, as devotees, we want Radharani's mercy. Because by getting Radharani's mercy, then you can get Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we say, to get Krishna's mercy, you need Radharani's mercy. And in order to get Radharani's mercy, you need Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, you need to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. In order to get Lord Nityananda's mercy, you have to get the mercy of your spiritual master, who is the embodiment of Lord Nityananda's compassionate mercy. And what is that mercy? To preach the glories of the Lord world, everywhere. That is the mood of Nityananda, going everywhere and distributing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in the form of the Sankirtan movement. So the spiritual master comes to inspire people to take up Krishna consciousness and become dedicated to Lord Chaitanya's mission. And therefore, when we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda by wanting to assist the Lord in his transcendental desires to spread his glories worldwide, then Lord Nityananda becomes very pleased. And then through that, we engage in the Sankirtan movement. And when we become fully absorbed in Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya becomes completely happy. And then he introduces the candidate to Vrindavan. And then Radharani takes over. So that is the process, actually. So we want Radharani's mercy, because Radharani's mercy is the mercy of Vrindavan. She has full, she is Vrindavaneshwari. I mean, she is the personality who is really the personification of Vrindavan. She controls Vrindavan by her pure love, and she controls Krishna in the same way. Her love is so complete that Krishna can not understand it. It's one beautiful story, Jayadev Goswami. He was writing one of the most esoteric and most deep, intimate explanations of the loving pastimes in Radha Krishna. It's called Gita Govinda. Prabhupada said, don't read it. You can't understand. It's too high. He said, it's not necessary. I mean, there are many, what we say, editions of Gita Govinda throughout the world, but they're all pretentious, mostly, and done by many scholars and persons who are unqualified. But Jayadev's is the authorized, because he is purely in the mood of Vrindavan. So in writing his ecstasies and loving transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, he started to write one verse. And that verse was that Lord Shri Krishna places his head at the lotus feet of Radha. And then, after writing that verse, he realized, what am I saying? How is it possible that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do that, put himself in a position of his head at the lotus feet of Radharani? He is the topmost. It's not possible. It's not right. Maybe it's possible, but I shouldn't write it. He had many thoughts, but ultimately he rejected. And then he scratched it out. And then he went to try to go back to writing more pastimes, but nothing came. Because transcendental literature written by great souls is spontaneously coming from the heart and from their deep meditation. It's not some philosophical putting together of ideas. It comes from their spontaneous love and their realizations. And actually it comes by their deep meditation. They're actually in meditation on these leelas that they're writing. It's not like they're just writing something that they think is correct. They're in meditation on the leelas. So he couldn't write anymore. And then he decided, okay, it's time for prasad. So he went to his wife, Bhagavati Devi. No, I'm sorry, not Bhagavati Devi. What was this? What's her name? The same as the mother of Nityananda. Padmavati, yes. Padmavati, thank you. He said to Padmavati, I'm going to take prasadam, but first I will go to the banks of the Ganges, so please have prasad ready when I return. So he went out to bathe. And in the meantime, Krishna took the form of Jayadev. And he came, and his wife was surprised, thinking, well, he's just went out and he's back already. And so he hurried to get the prasadam ready. So it was actually Krishna, in the form of Jayadev, sat down and took prasad. And then, of course, he left some remnants. And then as soon as he finished, he washed and went to his book and started to write. This was Krishna writing, not Jayadev, but it looked like Jayadev. So then he wrote that same line that the original Jayadev scratched out. And Krishna puts his head at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And then, after some time, he just apparently disappeared. His wife was wondering, where'd he go? But then the real Jayadev came back, and he said to his wife, and she was actually taking prasadam, and he said, what are you doing? Because, you know, that's not the etiquette. So she said, well, you just came and you took prasadam, and I'm just taking your remnants. He said, what do you mean I just came? She said, you were just here. You came, you took prasadam, and then you went to your book and wrote. He was thinking, what is she talking about? She said, go look in your book. And he went to his book, and that line that he had scratched out was no longer there as when he wrote it. It was a perfectly clear written line written by Krishna himself. That Krishna puts his head at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And then he understood. Yes. And then he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, realizing that Krishna actually came into his house and started to take prasadam. So he said to his wife, Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. He said to his wife, you are so fortunate. We are both so fortunate. We have been blessed. You have actually taken the remnants directly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our life is complete. Started to glorify his wife as being the most fortunate of all ladies in the universe because of her getting the opportunity to serve Krishna directly. He was thinking, man, is my wife's even greater than I am? And he was thinking how fortunate she is. But this pastime is one of the most, what we say, revealing pastimes of Krishna's intimate relationship with Radharani. How much his mood of Radha Bhakti is really his mood of devotion. And as it says here, only Radharani can satisfy all the loving moods of Krishna, no one else. She is expert in the mellows of love. And she can satisfy him perfectly and completely. So Srila Prabhupada writes one song when he came to America, Radharani Kushi Habi, that when Radharani becomes pleased with you, then your devotional service has become successful. Only, he uses the word only, when Radharani becomes pleased with you, is your devotional service. Because Krishna has to bestow his full mercy if Radharani gives. So we're always begging for the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Gaur Nittai, and the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And here it's explained that Radharani manifests herself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Leela as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in order to taste the sweetness of her love. As it mentions here, the Lord came to propagate the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. But this is not the... It's an important reason, it's an essential reason, because the Lord is, in this age, he is the inaugurator and practicer of the Yuga Dharma. But the real reason, or the most essential reason for his appearance, is to experience these loving mellows. So it says there are three confidential internal reasons and three external reasons. The three external reasons is to uplift the Dharma, to reestablish religious principles, to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and to satisfy the desires of Advaitacharya, who called the Lord out of his ecstasy of love for the conditioned souls. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita makes it all clear how important or how much the Lord loves to enjoy transcendental loving relationships. And here, we're hearing also about one of his associates, the most intimate of all associates, out of all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami had the most, when we say long-term and intimate loving relationships. He would be the only one, many times, to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu day and night. One thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like any kind of philosophy that was contrary to the Siddhanta of Bhakti. If something was not correctly explained to bring about the clear conclusion of Prema Bhakti or sadhana, any of the Bhaktis, Bhava Bhakti, he would not like to listen to that, because if he heard something, because people would come, they would write, and they would say, would you like to hear what I have to write? And if it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what the Lord understood, it wasn't correct according to Shastras and according to the Lord himself, it would cause pain to his heart to hear these things. So Sarup Damodar Goswami was like the bodyguard, the screen. They would have to speak to Sarup Damodar Goswami first, and then only when he approved it would that person get the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be able to speak what they had written. So he was there to protect the Lord like that. And there are many incidents of that too. So this was one of his intimate services. But of course, his most intimate of all services, especially during the latter years of Lord Chaitanya's stay, is that he would chant these prayers by Jayadev Goswami, by Chandidas, by Vyapati, some of the greatest transcendental poets who would describe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And the Lord would just go into these ecstasies. He would stay in the ecstasies. And it was only Sarup Damodar Goswami and also at that time Srila Ramananda Roy. Now it's interesting here, and it's also confusing, at least from my point of view, how we hear that, you know, Sarup Damodar Goswami, we always identify him as Lalita. But here it says the Gauragadadash Deepika also. And Prabhupada says the authoritative Gaura Gaudesh Deepika says that he is Vishakha. And then again, we also hear from other references that Ramananda Roy is Vishakha. So, Krishna consciousness is not that easy. Try to understand these deeper mellows. But the thing is, both are correct. That in the transcendental realm, apparent contradictions can also be what we say correct. In the sense that these personalities are not limited to one body. They can be in many bodies simultaneously. But what makes the principle of Sarup Damodar's identity as Lalita Devi, as Prabhupada mentions first, is that out of the two, Vishakha and Lalita, Lalita was very much intimate with Radharani, more so. And we see that in the association of Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar, it was always Sarup Damodar, practically, the whole time. There was only one other person who got as much association, and that was Srila Gadadhar Pandit. But because Gadadhar Pandit had his own services, he never was always with the Lord. Sarup Damodar was constantly with the Lord. So he is an interesting personality. His history is a little mysterious. Here it's mentioned his name was Purushottam Bhattacharya. He took Mayavadi training and became a brahmachari while he was in Benares, and then he left and he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sri Navadvip Dham. It says that he didn't keep the externals of sannyas. He didn't keep the sika nor the danda, but he was in the renounced order of life like that. He had given up all activities and had taken a type of sannyas. It says in another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had the ceremony but without the externals. So this was Sarup Damodar Goswami. So it was interesting. One time there was one personality, his name was Balabha Bhattacharya, I believe his name was. Sri Balava Dev, later he became. And he would get the association of Lord Chaitanya. He was a great scholar, elderly personality. I think we heard from Radhana Swami the other night a little bit about Sri Balabhacharya. But he would approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he would speak his writings And he had written a commentation on Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was very proud of it. He was a great devotee, but one thing he had, which was really unpleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was really a great devotee, but he was a little proud of that. Pride can come at even in the highest levels of bhakti. When one becomes so deep in devotion, and one starts to think in that way, one can also be affected by that mood of understanding that, yeah, I'm actually advanced. It's not that they parade around like that, but they actually have that feeling. It's still a little tinge of the material taint. Because from the highest platform, a devotee never thinks, or at least a great devotee never thinks like that, thinks he's the lowest. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in many of his writings. So when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I have written a commentary that is greater than Srihar Swami's commentary, Lord Chaitanya says. One who does not accept the Swami as a prostitute. Because Swami also means husband. So if the wife does not accept her husband, she's considered to be in that category as one who is a prostitute. So he said that. And then, of course, he ended the conversation there. So another time, Ballabha Bhattacharya wrote so many names. He sat down and wrote so many names of Krishna. He had this long list, and he came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I've compiled this list of names of Krishna. Please hear. Lord Chaitanya says, I only know two names. Yasomati Nandana and Shamsundar. That's all I know. That's all I know. He didn't want to hear his list. So what could he do? So another time, he came back, and he said, why do you chant the names of God out loud? We are the wife. As living entities, we are the wife, and Krishna is the husband. And it's not proper, according to Vedic culture, for a woman to speak her husband's name. She calls Prabhu. Or even in public. So he presented that argument to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is it we are wives of the Lord and we are calling his name? And Lord Chaitanya said, if the husband says to the wife, speak my name, she must listen. So again he was defeated. So every time he tried to say something to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya would always make him look bad. Although in many cases he was correct, but because of his pride, the Lord acted in that way, just to destroy his pride. So being correct is not always important. It's not always important. So, now, when Vallabhacharya was refused by the Lord to listen, he tried to go to Lord Chaitanya's associates and followers, and he started to try to speak to them what he had written. But they knew Lord Chaitanya didn't like to hear from him, so they would just go. They wouldn't listen to him. So he was mortified. He didn't know what to do. Because he was just so anxious to present what he had written to the devotees. So he found Gadadhar Pandit. Now Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. But it's Radharani in a different mood. In the mood that she's known as, there are two types of categories of gopis. There are many categories, but there's two distinct. Left-wing gopis, and right-wing gopis. From my side, from your side, it's the other way. Anyway, the right-wing gopis are very, very, very submissive and obedient to Krishna. And the left-wing gopis are sometimes, but sometimes not. And Krishna really appreciates the left-wing gopis more. Because he likes that mood of, what we say, what's the mood? The mood of adventure. You can say adventure. So many times Radharani will get mad at Krishna. And Krishna won't show up when she's expecting him, and she'll become angry, and she'll just, you know, take her blue sari and throw it away. She won't look at the Ganges because it's blue. It reminds her of Krishna. She has a blue birdcage, and she throws it. She just gets rid of her blue bird. Anything that's blue, because it reminds her of Krishna. So she becomes angry at Krishna, and Krishna likes that, of course. But at the same time, he's thinking how to get her favor again. So one time, he went to, you know, when he tried to go to her, she would just, you know, just get angry and just completely turn away. So when Krishna gets in these predicaments, he has to do something. So he goes to Brindadevi, and she's the, what we say, the controller of Vrindavan. She makes all the arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. All the gopis meet at Brindakun in the morning. In the morning they hear from Brindadevi how to organize their service to Radha and Krishna throughout the day. So Krishna said, you know, you got to get me back with Radharani. This is painful. So she said, well, okay, let me think. She said, you know, Radharani, you know, you can, you dress up as an astrologer. And then we'll arrange for her, we'll say to her that there is a very qualified lady astrologer. And you dress up as a lady, and you come, and then you can read her palm like that. And then you can gradually use that as a way to get her favor again. So Krishna thought, great idea. So Radharani was there in the groves with her associates, and Krishna came, and he was all dressed up as this lady. So they introduced, they said, Srimati Radharani, here is a very nice qualified astrologer. I think it'll be good for you. You don't look so happy lately. Maybe some astrological readings will help you to understand how to get over this unhappiness. So she agreed. So this lady, who was Krishna, and he grabbed her feet first, and then he started to reading her palms. And he's saying different things, and finally he said, yes, the problem is, my dear Devi, that you have to be more favorable to Krishna. Oh, no. She just, get out of here. What a bogus astrologer. Who brought this girl anyway? She doesn't know anything. And so he just got really, really angry. She got angry. So Krishna went back to Vrindadevi. It didn't work. What do I do? I need another plan here. Because, you know, it's getting worse. So this time Vrindadevi said, let me think. It's getting harder now. Radharani's not that easy to change. So, oh, well, you know, sannyasis are always respected wherever they go. So dress up as a sannyasi. And then come begging alms. Because no one can refuse a sannyasi from begging alms. At least, theoretically. Things have changed as time goes on. I remember one time I was traveling, and we were going to different various congregational ministers' house, people's houses. This was in America, so I had to sit. There was an assistant with me. I said, "Call this man up and tell him we're coming." And he called up, and the man said, "No, don't come." I said, "Okay, thank you. I'll try somebody else." So it's not like it used to be. So anyway, he didn't know me either, and I didn't know him, but he just didn't want any visitors, I guess. So Krishna, he put this, like, what was it on? Tiger skin on. Actually, he dressed up like Shiva a little bit. Tiger skin, he had a little drum, and he had a begging bowl. And Radharani was there. And then Radharani's assistant said, "Oh, look, there's a sannyasi coming." And Radharani said, "Oh, a sannyasi, that's auspicious. We should get his blessings, to get the blessings." So when Krishna came, and she was very happy to see this guest, and she honored in many ways, and then she said, Can we offer you something? You're a sannyasi, you're a beggar. When it's our duties as grihasthas to offer something. He said, yes, Mataji, but I only ask one thing. And she said, what is that? And he said, I think you should be favorable to Krishna. She said, okay. It worked. Somehow it worked. And Radharani was in, at that point, Radharani was ready to come to change. And so Krishna came at the right time. So Sarup Damodarma Goswami, back to the pastime with Radharani, in the mood of Gadadhar Pandit, is not like that. She's completely like, almost like a right-wing gopi. She's very, very submissive in her moods to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Vallabhacharya came to Gadadhar Pandit to read, because Gadadhar Pandit's nature is very gentle and very simple, he started to read real fast. And Gadadhar didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, this very important personality who has the scripture starting to read. And I know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't like it, but he's such an important person. What am I supposed to do? And he's just reading, and you ever get into a situation where somebody is just a little, you don't want to be, you want to be friendly to them, but you don't like what they're doing at the same time. You don't want to be, offensive. So it happened, and so he was, and in his heart, he was playing and praying, my dear Lord, I really don't want to listen to him, but I don't know how to not listen to him, because that's his nature. So this went on, and then of course he read his whole thing, and then Gadadhar Pandit, just listened. And while he was, the whole time he was just praying. And then, of course, Lord Chaitanya, who's the indwelling super soul, he knows the hearts of everyone. So therefore, he wasn't angry at Gadadhar Pandit. But later on, when Gadadhar Pandit saw Lord Chaitanya, Srup Damodar Goswami chastised him. He said, you listen to Vallabhacharya. He got chastised from Srup Damodar Goswami. And the Lord just smiled. So that was his position. He would also act always in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desires like that. So there's much more we could speak about, the glories of Srup Damodar Goswami. Of course, Lalita, Vishakha are the most intimate of all of the gopis, and always acting in the most intimate way to make transcendental loving arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Any questions?